Well, we're fairly romping through the Beatitudes. Shocking how quickly time passes. This is number 7. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who make peace, for they will be called the sons of God. What a very important promise. I think this is a very relevant beatitude for the world that we live in today, because it is hard to find peace in many quarters in the world. When I was preparing this message, there was a little piece on the BBC News about a London gentleman who was sitting in his flat one day feeling very lonely, and he made himself a flask of tea, a big flask. And he went out into the park and began to ask strangers, and these were his words, "I don't suppose you want a cup of tea, do you?" This is how he approached the strangers. And these encounters obviously often were rebuffed, because I guess we're so suspicious these days of anyone doing something a little bit out of the ordinary. But for many, they led to conversation. They led to people sitting down on a park bench, having a cup of tea, and sharing their lives with this gentleman. And he got their permission then to help make a video sort of diary of the encounters that he was having. And he put this up on social media, and it was called, there's a little picture of some of the encounters. It was called A Mug of Life, and lots of people seem to want to follow this Mug of Life Instagram and TikTok and so on, because it seems that in a world where people are isolated, people are often separated and alienated from one another, something that brings people together, something that connects people, and somewhere a space where people can actually really be real and share, and a park bench is that in this situation, and they can talk about their lives. And this gentleman happens to be a very good listener and a very understanding person, able to question people in an appropriate way and help them to talk about their situations and their problems. It seems to be something that we really need. We need people who can connect people to people. And this is the world that we're living in. The world that is a place where there is a great deal of disconnection, where people who are going to go against the flow and really make the effort to listen and to empathize, that's a really difficult thing to do. To put yourself into someone else's shoes, to try and build bridges to other people, and to try and help connections to happen. That seems to be the very opposite of what is happening a lot in the world. And our world is, I think you would agree, a world where people are much less community-minded now. People are much more judgmental. Have so many opportunities to be judgmental, of course, because we see so much more about other people's lives now through the various media that we can access than we ever did. And so our judgmental habits are developed very much, because we can look at things, and people often are judging one another on the social media streams that we see, and we join in. Someone comes and says, "Look at this, look at what they're doing, isn't it terrible?" And before we even know, we're agreeing, it's terrible. We don't know anything about the situation, hardly. And so, because we have such access to knowledge about situations and people, we become very opinionated. And this is what I think about this. And someone else has got what they think. And it gets more and more difficult in that sort of opinionated, judgmental environment for people to just put that aside and be close to one another And so our society becomes more and more polarized, and people have their opinions about everything, whether it's about, you know, some show, some reality TV show, and who's the best person on it or whatever, or whether it's about Donald Trump. People have opinions, and these opinions and these tribes that form tend to separate people, and people bunker themselves as well, because we can be in a situation where we choose now who we're going to listen to. So I'm only going to listen to this influencer. I'm only going to listen to this source of information, and they continually affirm what I already believe. So I get even more entrenched in my views because I'm not listening to the other side. I mean, this is the way that human society always has been. And we can read about it even when we go back to the Genesis story and to that situation where Adam and Eve and God are in the Garden of Eden. And you read chapter 3 of Genesis. It begins with them all in harmony. And by the end of the chapter, a wedge has been driven between Adam and Eve. A wedge has been driven between Adam and God, and a wedge has been driven between Eve and God. And all because of deception. The deception of Satan. And these days we have so many tools available to us to undermine relationships that wedges are constantly being driven between people. And so if a lonely man in a flat can conjure up a scheme for bringing people together, how much more should we as Christians be people who excel at bringing peace? The calling of peacemaker that this beatitude invites us to follow is more important than ever. So what does a peacemaker do? I don't suppose I need to say too much about it. I don't know what comes to your mind when you think about peacemaker. Maybe you think about the UN, you know, having a role in a country to keep two warring factions apart. But that's not really what's in mind here, because what is in mind here is trying to get the two warring factions to be at peace with one another. So it's more of a diplomatic role, perhaps, where you've got to negotiate a peace settlement between two trade bodies or two countries or whatever it is. Maybe like a marriage counsellor who comes in when a couple are just not able to square up their differences and sits down and helps them to hear each other until they begin to realise what is wrong, why the dynamic is as it is, and hopefully they can come together and peace can result. It's a challenging thing to come to peace, because people are irrational, people are often deceived, people are often brainwashed, people are often aggressive, people are often arrogant. All sorts of things make it difficult to achieve peace in the world. And so when we perhaps go to the Middle East and we go to church there, I was preparing and I was reading about one particular Church of England congregation in Jerusalem, and we go in and we find I'm sitting beside Jewish people, I'm sitting beside Gentiles, I'm sitting beside Arabs, and they all love one another. And we think that is truly a miracle of God. And this is our calling. Our calling is to bring peace into people's lives by enabling them to find peace with God. Because if we are the children of God, as the Beatitude says, then we all have God as our Father. And we're part of the family of God, and we should therefore be united as families ought to be. So our calling as peacemakers goes beyond anything that you find in the world of people just trying to get people together. We're actually trying to bring people to know God. And our example for this is Jesus. Jesus is our great example for this. Now, we read together in Ephesians 2. There's the word peace appears quite a lot in Ephesians 2. And Paul says, writing to Gentiles, Jesus came and he preached peace to you, Gentiles. You were far away from God and far away from the Jewish people as well. And he preached peace to those who were near the Jewish people. And through Jesus, says Paul, Jews and Gentiles both have access to the Father by one Spirit. And we're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with the Jews, the Gentiles and the Jews together, members of God's household. Paul is not writing theory here, he's writing what's happened. He's saying even in the first, 25 years of the church, already we can see that those who formerly were hostile to one another are all together in Christ, all one in Christ Jesus. And Jesus has made this happen because of his Spirit, and because he's brought us to the Father, he's made us united. But Jesus also brings us to God. And I used the English Standard Version of this particular verse because it makes it very explicit. It says that God, through Jesus, was reconciling to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of Jesus' cross. So it's through the blood of his cross that Jesus makes peace between not Jew and Gentile this time, man and man, but between God and man. And this is what Jesus has done. Jesus is, as in so many of the Beatitudes, he is the person who shows us what it is to fulfill the Beatitude. If he says to you, blessed are the merciful, he is the man who is merciful. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, he is the man who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers, he is the peacemaker. I don't know if you've come across the bridge illustration. It's one of the probably the very first illustration I ever had of what Jesus had done on the cross. And I was given a little booklet about it in my very first weeks as a Christian through the work of an organization called the Navigators in Glasgow University. And the idea is that man on the left-hand side and God on the right-hand side, there's a gulf between them. And that gulf is caused by man's sin, because man is sinful and God is holy. And Jesus comes, and through his life and his death on the cross and his resurrection, he bridges that gap so that people can go across to God and through the cross be one with God and be in his family and be part of it. Let me tell you this, if you're sitting in a cafe having coffee with someone and they say, so, why did Jesus come into the world? Or they ask you some question, this is a good illustration. Get a napkin and, get a pen from the waitress, whoever, and just draw out the bridge illustration. Without the cross, first of all, there's a big gulf. There's no peace between man and God. If there was peace, God would be walking in our midst as he did in the Garden of Eden. But there isn't peace. And so we need Christ. Christ brings man and God together. And he does so through his sacrifice, making peace, we just read in the last verse, by the blood of his cross, bringing man and God together again. The bridge illustration. Now just think about the task that God gave Jesus. God sent Jesus into the world as his son, as the Prince of Peace. Jesus came into the world much like our world 2,000 years ago. It wasn't any different. In many ways it was worse. Yeah, in many ways it was very much worse. And it was full of strife, full of people against people, people alienated from God. And it's almost like God said to Jesus, and I'm just, these are my words here, but it's like God said to Jesus, I'm sending you into this world, my son, and you must love these people. You must always put them first. You must be patient, kind, humble, gentle, forgiving. You must never do wrong yourself, no matter how disappointed or provoked you are by the people. You must do everything that is needed to reconcile them to me, the Father said, so that if they ever change and turn to me, you immediately bring them into my family. You, my son, must always be ready to bring anyone to me. And to do this, you must die on a cross. And you must do this not just for people here or there, for millions and for billions. This is your task. And he fulfilled it. Praise God. And hallelujah, he fulfilled it. And our calling now is to follow in his footsteps. Romans 12:18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. How do we do it? Let me just rattle through a few things very quickly. Don't take sides. Don't take sides. Try to see both viewpoints. Remember, God is not on anyone's side. It's the question is, not is God on my side, but am I on God's side? And God is the only one who's always right. He's the only one who doesn't do wrong and cause rifts and division. So don't take sides, because no one side is completely right in the human world. Don't take offense. Don't be easily offended. You'll never be a peacemaker if you're easily offended. Keep your ego out of things. It doesn't matter what happens to you, what people say about you, or how you're treated. Keep your ego out of things. You're a peacemaker. If you keep your ego in things, you'll be falling out with people and you'll be part of the problem. But you're a peacemaker. You're there to defuse bombs. You're there to calm tempers, to show patience, to diffuse anger with the soft answer that turns away wrath. And listen. Listen. It's not about your story. Listen. Ensure good communication. Make sure people understand one another. Make sure they've heard each other. Because often people have prejudices that stop them from hearing what the other person is saying. So listen. And pray. Because solutions are beyond human power. You know, sometimes we can succeed on some level or another to sort out divisions. But many of the divisions only God can really sort out, because the differences go so deep and the hearts are so set against one another. Pray. Being a peacemaker is a great calling, but it takes maturity. And it takes innocence. A young child can be a peacemaker because they haven't learned the arts of human deception. They can just listen and accept. And we need to become little children to be peacemakers. But we also need to be mature. Because, you know, it seems to be a great virtue these days, speaking your mind. Speaking your mind is not a great virtue, because that's what divides people. Getting things off your chest, no, you're a peacemaker. So you must be more mature than the person who speaks their mind and gets things off their chest. Because it's not about you. It's not about you being heard. You're a peacemaker. And remember, you're not just trying to diffuse situations between people. As a Christian, your primary goal is to bring people to God. And Paul exemplifies this. He says in many of his letters to people, please be united with one another. Perhaps one of the best known is in Philippians 4 verse 2. He says, I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Two women in the church in Philippi, and they weren't at peace. And Paul says, please, ladies, please, put aside your differences for the sake of Christ. And if there's anyone here in that situation, I plead with you, put aside your differences for the sake of Jesus, so that you can exemplify what this beatitude promises. See, the beatitude is saying you'll be a child of God if you're a peacemaker. But if you yourself are constantly causing division and falling out, then your connection with God will be disturbed as well. And Paul also says to the Corinthians, this is 2 Corinthians 5:20, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. I don't just want people in the church to be talking to one another, says Paul, and love one another. I want them to be reconciled to God. Because the greatest peace of all is peace with God. And if we have that peace, then all other peace flows from it. So, let me just flip back. I should have put this verse again at the end. But here's the beatitude. And there's a promise in it. The promise is, if you are that person who is prepared to invest in others to help them to be at one with each other and with you and with God, you will be called sons of God, it says. Now you think, why does it say sons? Why doesn't it say children? Well, because it's in a context, and the context is a context where, right or wrong, only the sons inherit from the parents, from the father. And so, to be a son is to be an heir. And this is why Paul often uses sons, when he really means children, but he means men and women can get the inheritance as though they were all sons. This is what he means. In other words, the peacemaker in God's family, male or female, owns the whole estate of the father and has the full rights of the firstborn son. So I want you to be encouraged by that promise, obviously. But there are so many consolations along the way when people come to a place of peace. Peace with God and peace with each other. And just go from here with a renewed sense, as I must do too, of your calling to be a peacemaker. It's maybe a way you don't think of yourself, but it's a way that the Beatitudes say that we should think of ourselves. And it means that we take a different approach to life. because what we are trying to do may be very different to the prevalent way of the world, with all its tribes and all its divisions and all its opinions. For ourselves, we are seeking to unite people and bring them together. And in doing that, we'll be like our Father in heaven, because the initiative to bring peace comes from Him. He sends the Son, and the Son works to bring peace between Jew and Gentile, between man and woman, and between people of all the different kinds of groupings within the world. And also He works to bring peace between ourselves and God. So let us be children of God, sons of God, with the full rights of inheritance, because we serve Jesus by being people who bring peace wherever we go. Amen.